And I've told this before, but not to your audience, but we didn't even have the idea for the show the week before the meeting. Time maybe here and there I'll try to run a longer set or whatever. Mm-hmm. but being on the road, you do the longer set on the road,
and you have to.
Yeah
you have to. Yeah, do you do like newer stuff on the road too?
I'm back to nothing right now.
Oh really?
Yeah, I'm working with, you know, I'm working with some old stuff that was uncooked and like some new stuff,
right?
But I start my tour Friday.
Okay.
I'm doing 4 weekends in clubs, which I should have done longer, and now that I realize it, but then the theaters kick off again, and so it's like I'm just trying to pull something together in time, you know, to do that. But I write as I go. So I'll be writing for the next 18 months on the road. But for the theater shows, really, I'll work it out here as much as I can. So it's a little mm-hmm. more polished there, you know what I mean? But it is what it is.
Do you tell the fans that this is like newer kind of stuff? So that because a lot of them probably just expecting, that's what happens with me too. They're expecting like your special.
Yeah.
Especially because I've never done it before.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's see what Vinny got. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
get that.
I feel like when you're like a Louis or something, you can comprehend that he has a special, and now the whole year up until he's just going to be working shit out.
People don't know, like, unless you're a comedy fan, people really don't understand it at all. Sometimes they're like, oh, I saw him twice. He did the same stuff.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the city, you're going to get that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or try not to go back to the same, I mean, you're in New York City. If I try not to go back to the same city and do the same jokes, because then they've come out, you know, so.
Right. So, if we could take it back. So this is my Staten Island family is here, Sal Vulcano. And, you know, I probably know, everyone knows each other on Staten Island, know the same references and shit. How old are you?
47. I'll be 48 in November.
I'm 36.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit older than me, but like all my friends went to Farrell. My cousins went to Farrell. You guys went to Farrell, right?
Yeah.
And
where'd you go?
I went to Wagner.
Oh yeah, my sister.
I went to Moore for a semester.
Okay.
And my first semester, I hated it. I went there for some reason because there was girls there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
So it was just stupid. I was
you didn't know a single, not one of your friends went there?
Dude, my older sister and my older cousin went there who were seniors.
When you got there.
Yeah. And you don't hang out with your older sister.
You're starting at zero there.
Yeah. So I would like literally for the first time, I'd be at the lunch table. And it was like a movie. I'd look around and have nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what gang do I... So I sat by myself. There were like a 3 misfit kids. Like we're in the same position.
Yeah.
But like on Staten Island, everybody just migrates to a high school that were at an IS or elementary school.
Yeah.
So in Moore, it was all people from like IS 75 or some weird shit. And I went to St. Rita's.
Oh, you went to St. Rita's?
Yeah.
I know St. Rita's. I went to St. Joseph's in Rosebank, which is now closed.
St. Rita's is closed too. Yeah.
A lot of them are closed. Yeah. It's kind of like crazy.
They merge.
Yeah.
They're like doing Google shit.
Are they really?
Yeah, like St. Rita's is merged with like St. Teresa now.
Oh, really? I don't know. I know that mine and another one down the block from where there was another one down the block, St. Mary's. They're like, I passed yesterday, they're like boarded up.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, that's crazy. It's a huge empty building.
Yeah.
Was it just Staten Island? No, other place. Because I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah.
I went to Catholic school and that closed down as well. I went to St. Francis.
I think the Archdiocese is not doing great.
Right? Yeah.
Something happened. I wonder what the hell's going on? What the hell's going on over there?
Yeah, the Catholicism isn't alive and well over there. So I went to Moore. And then at Moore, actually, I get there and the teachers go on strike. Okay. So like we're all fucking going to
in the Archdiocese or just at Moore?
I think all the teachers.
It was all of them, right?
So listen to this story. So one day we would just be like going to class and like everyone's going to the auditorium. The teachers are on strike. So we go to the auditorium. Guess what day it was?
9/11. No. Wait,
that was I swear to God.
You mean like 9/11?
2001.
Oh, 2001?
Yes.
No.
Yes. So we're all going. So how
Holy
stupid do those
shit.
Fucking teachers feel?
Yeah.
Yo. Oh my God.
So we're
dude.
In Moore. We're in the auditorium for the strike. And then they go, everybody go back to your classroom. And we go back to homeroom.
For the second strike. Yeah. Oh my God.
For the real strike.
That's terrible.
Yep. Yo.
That's crazy. And there was no teachers there.
No, the teacher had to go to work.
Oh, they like, just couldn't teach.
Yeah. In a way of just like, you know, let's tell them what's going on here. Let's do the bare minimum and just sit up there and babysit.
Okay.
And then it all kind of fell apart from there. And then anyway, so all that shit just made me transfer to Wagner where my friends were. And I went to Wagner. But all my other friends, like from St. Rita's, all went to Farrell High School.
Okay.
Yeah. So did the Jokers guys, were they in Farrell?
Yeah. Okay. That's where I met them.
Oh, awesome. Really?
Yeah, I met them like there. I mean, we were all the same age, entered school the same time.
Okay.
And that's how I literally know them. So I've known them now 34 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because 90 was when we started.
Yeah. I mean, comedy isn't really that prominent on Staten Island.
No, not really.
That's what makes you guys so amazing to me, that which I was so fascinated by, because I've always kind of been an improv nerd and I did UCB and sketch comedy and shit. Yeah,
that's how I started too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like a fucking improv troupe or whatever it is coming out of like Staten Island is crazy.
Yeah, I think there was really no one. It's so funny because like Staten Island's kind of, it's small relative to the other boroughs and stuff, but it's like, it really is. It's like there's only a handful of people that really know anyone who's like
artsy or something. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's Wu-Tang Clan and Pete and Colin and you.
And
I don't really know.
Or the Mob Wives.
Yeah, the Mob
Wives. They do like reality.
Yeah, they do reality well. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, because people are capitalizing off of the crazy Ginzos and stuff like that.
They had an improv thing in Farrell and I did it for a couple of years and it was fun. And then I started doing like improv and acting and stand up when I went to college. And when we came back, some of us were still doing it. And I ran into James at the mall and he was like, I've been doing it. Joe's been doing it. And we're like, you want to try and do it together?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right. I ran into him at the mall.
Okay.
And that's how I wasn't like, he wasn't like my best friend. Like we weren't a clique or anything.
Right,
like
right, right.
Like I was friends with all of them individually and we all knew each other, but it wasn't like the four of us hung out.
But but the artsy people linked up, like it's all.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it was like, I call it artsy, but it was because also we did improv with other girls' schools. So that was also another way to.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just us and stuff.
Was it all short form improv?
Yeah,
like
it was short form back then.
That's the best.
Yeah, it was
that's
easy,
the best.
Silly
the
stuff.
Long form is like. Ugh.
I love the long form only because it's like, you know, it's more of like a challenge and you kind of like really got to, you know, you really got to like, it's for me, it's like you're developing something and you're working. The short form is more fun, punchy games.
Right.
And that's what
like
we
like
did.
Whose line is it anyway? Yeah, that's what everyone thought.
That's a broad appeal for sure. Yeah. And then we just rolled over. So we said, all right. So we met at Joe's mom's house. And in the basement, we rehearsed three nights a week for like 6 months.
Okay.
And then we did our first show.
It was like a sketch kind of show?
It was
because they were rehearsing?
It was all improv. No, we would run improv rehearsal.
Oh, you just like do like scenes and shit?
Yeah.
Like just getting the muscle and the connection.
Why was it awful?
You said it was probably awful. I mean, we were like 22, whatever it was. And I just know that it probably wasn't that good. Okay. Back then we probably were like, oh, we're really doing it.
Yeah.
But we used to, we took it seriously though.
Yeah.
Like we would legit 3 nights a week and we would tape it. We put an old camcorder on a tripod.
Oh shit.
And then after we were done, we would take that out, pop it in and watch and pause it and talk about like, oh, you could have made this choice. You could have made that choice.
Oh, like run the tape.
Yeah, run the tape.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow.
And so like we were trying to take it pretty soon. And then after a while, we started filming sketches or little short films to play in front of the live show. So we had like beef up the live show.
Right.
And then
right.
after like that ran its course.
Where were you doing the show? In the city? Or?
Yeah, we'd rent like little black box studios or do like college theaters or what have you.
I sell tickets, like promote it, this little improv troupe that was.
In the beginning, it was to family and friends, but we had enough family and friends.
Yeah, of course, we're Italian.
We were always selling out the shows. Like, you know, the first night we did two shows and the theater was 55 seats. So we sold out 110 tickets, you know?
Right.
Then the next one, we moved to 125 times two and we sold the 250. And we would only do them like once every like 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
So like, our family and friends loved it because they didn't see anything like that. And so they were always waiting to come right back. And the tickets were $5. You know, it wasn't
Right. So live entertainment.
Yeah.
They have like Staten Island has like a little gentrified area by the ferry that you might catch like an open. Remember the Cargo Cafe?
I worked there for like almost 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I worked there from 2000.
What were you doing?
Well, 2003 to 2011. I was bartending and then I was managing it and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that still there?
It is.
Oh, shit.
You know what's so funny? I left that place in 2011. I bought a bar And then I got a different bar with two friends. And I got a show.
In Staten Island?
Yeah.
Which
one? It was a coffee shop. We converted into like a music venue and bar. It was called the Muddy Cup.
I remember the Muddy Cup.
We named it the Full Cup.
Okay. That was like a show thing too, right?
Yeah, we had shows and bands and comedians and everything you think of. That whole area, we cultivated that like whole scene down there. I don't think it exists much, but I went to the Cargo to grab a bite with some friends 3 days ago. It was the first time I was there since my last shift in 2011.
Oh, shit.
Bringing it up here. But So downtown you could do stuff like that. Yeah.
I was a busboy on Staten Island. It was one of my first jobs at the Manor House.
Yeah, of course. That's old school. That's still there.
Oh, I can't say it on this pod, but some weird shit used to go in there with the waitresses. And they kind of revamped it. But when I was there, I saw some weird shit when I was 13. They were like fucking girls pulling their titties out in the kitchen and like weird chefs doing Molly.
Sounds like every restaurant in New York City.
Yeah.
Wow, in front of you at 13?
Yeah. Well, I was just like the busboy.
What kind of food?
Pretty cool. Italian. Everything in Staten Island is Italian infused. Do you know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah. So you have this troupe.
The Tenderloins.
The Tenderloins?
Yeah, that's what we call
it. And it was the Joker guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was one other guy that since left. So he wasn't in Impractical Jokers.
Okay.
One of my best friends, Mike, he left after the early 2000s and he went on to have a successful regular career.
Of a comic?
PR.
No. Oh, PR. Okay. Yeah. But
Well, we didn't hit until 2010.
Yeah. Right.
So in 2006, we started filming sketches and putting them online.
Oh, okay.
And we hit the YouTube when it first came out and MySpace wave.
I was going to say, YouTube wasn't even a thing then.
Yeah, it wasn't. So we were dumping a lot of content at once. So someone over at those two places were featuring us on the homepages.
Okay.
And we were getting a lot of views and stuff. And by that, we got into this sketch comedy competition that was a pilot for NBC.
Okay.
It was hosted by Carson Daly. It never aired, but we won it, and they had to pay us, and the prize was $100,000.
Holy
shit. Nice.
At that time, I won Mega Millions.
Yeah. What was the sketch?
It was a sketch we filmed. It was called Time Thugs. It was about hiring thugs to go back in time and beat up your bully.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It won $100,000.
Yeah. It was good. We had, these guys beating children with bats and stuff.
Yeah.
So that got us an agent.
Okay.
And then from there, we had a lot of failure and then we just pitched the show in 2010 and sold it, which, and I've told this before, but not to your audience, but we didn't even have the idea for the show the week before the meeting. So they set up these like generals and these meetings general meetings to go meet the networks and stuff.
Yeah, see if we
meet the people that work there.
Have synergy.
Have synergy. They keep you in mind for stuff. Maybe you pitch them stuff, but we didn't have anything. So we were like, all right, we want to bring pitches into these meetings. We went to like all the networks that week. So we just sat down and thought of three ideas the week before. And Practical Jokers was one of them. And we went and filmed like a little sizzle reel, like a 5-minute demo of it, like on our cell phones. And then we brought that tape in. We sold it. We got an offer in the room, both from MTV and from True TV.
Really?
Wow.
And we sold that in the
an sort offer, of like
in
the same.
Room. You never get an offer in the room ever.
No.
To put it in perspective, I've been in this business for a long, long time, and I've pitched probably 100 things, and I've never ever even come close to that.
Right. It just happens once. Yeah. And that was the same idea, like we're going to go do pranks on the street, prank each other type of thing.
Yeah, it was exact. It was pretty much how you see it. It was a little different. Like it was like, it had like a little like kitschiness to it. Like we drove around in a van that was like Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, like with like a little surveillance kind of van.
It was like sentient. Like so it would talk to us and give us it was called Mission Uncomfortable.
Okay.
That's so it was like, but we were competing.
Right.
And we had like this pipe dream of like Patrick Stewart voicing the van. But he like kind of was passive aggressive toward us. So we went in with his little extra stuff and they were like, we lopped that part of it off and just made it straight. But MTV, they offered to buy it first. We pitched them first. And then they wanted to not have us. They wanted us to produce it and have it be a game show with just recurring contestants competing.
Okay.
Recurring comedians giving them what to do.
Being the people in the ear.
Yeah. And we were like, well, the whole idea is like, we know each other. We're an improv troupe already. And we want people to be able to like get to know us and come back and pick a favorite. And so it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels like a bunch of like just boys hanging out.
Exactly.
Like goofing each other. Yeah.
Yeah. We thought that was the element that people would resonate with most. It turns out it was. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go with them, but they just made that show anyway.
Which one?
They made a show.
I feel like there's 100 like shows like they're like, oh, like it's like Impractical Jokers.
Yeah. Well, back then, so they
can't recreate
like
greatness.
Silent Library or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like those weird kind of like
Boiling Point.
Yeah. If they do it, they'll get something. Yeah.
Disaster Date.
It was called Money from Strangers.
Oh.
It was short lived. Buddy of mine hosted it, Jeff Dye. I didn't know him at the time. And it was basically it was a strip show. So they had 5 shows a week and it was like contestants come on, almost like a Room Raiders type thing.
They used the van.
And then comedians told them to do stuff, but it just didn't click. And we luckily came out, our show premiered first and people liked it right away. And so when that came on, people were like, what is this knockoff? Mm-hmm. Which it was. So
what show premiered first? Theirs?
We did.
Oh, luckily. Right. Oh, so they were like, what is this knockoff?
Yeah.
And now was this whole time, were you doing stand up?
No, I did stand up, out of college, like, for a little bit. And then I wrote a lot and I got up sometimes, but then I stopped doing it and started the improv.
Yeah.
And then the sketch. And I didn't start doing like really, really doing stand up again until about 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to. Like not all the jokers do stand up.
Oh no, they don't want to.
Yeah.
No, I always wanted to be a comic.
Right.
So it wasn't about having to. I was like, let me come back around to this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, if I don't do it now, you know, I got to just start doing really grinding. So I started.
Yeah. Really. I had no idea how like hard you were at until like I saw the special Terrified,
yes,
which is great.
Thank you.
And I think I saw Joe or somebody like on Instagram once and he's like doing like a stand up in a theater, like a fucking huge theater and
Gatto.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, Gatto.
I was like, holy fucking shit. Because, you know, I see you guys as a TV show. I know there's like comedic effects to it. But then like, I'm like, I love comedy and so I just give it this whole other layer of respect and like, holy shit, when you're seeing people sell out theaters for comedy, you know?
It's wild, dude. I mean, we started touring once we got the show.
Yeah.
We were like, well, we've performed in front of people for the last, you know, decade already. So we know.
With
the live improv and sketch stuff. So we were like, well, now that people know who we are from TV,
right,
why don't we put together a show for these people and start touring that? And so we started touring in 2012.
Okay. So like whenever you weren't filming the show,
or when we would go
on tour. Oh, really?
Yeah, we're just on the weekends or what have you. And I've been touring with them ever since. As a matter of fact, our fifth tour, after I guess 12 years, just wrapped up a month ago.
Really?
And now I start my new tour. So I always flip flop between the tours.
What do you guys, you don't say exactly, but what is this show about?
It's more geared toward the audience.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, it's more, it references the show. It's a little show centric. Uh-huh. It's interactive. We do like storytelling and it's multimedia. So it is like a written show.
Okay.
And it's like, and it really is like made for that audience.
Mm. The fans of
the fans of
Joker.
Yeah. They come in there for that.
Yeah. Which comedy is a little different.
Yeah. Comedy. I don't mention the show.
Yeah. I noticed
I've never
that.
Mentioned it once.
Yeah.
It's just two separate things. Yeah.
What are they like? We want you to mention the show?
I don't think so. I mean, look, sometimes, you know, I'm trying to grow my audience outside of that audience.
Same.
Hence the couple of podcasts, hence, you know, everything I do with stand up, I kind of am educating people because I've been doing stand up for almost 10 years now.
Right.
But people don't know. They're like, oh, the guy is just trying it out.
And yeah.
I'm like, dude, I've been doing it 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I never had anything out for anyone to watch. And so finally last year, I got the runway.
Mm.
I took 6 months down and I just worked on it and got it out there. So now I have something that, hopefully people can be like, oh, he's a comic as well, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of, Joe started a couple of years ago. He's doing great. And my special Terrified came out a couple months ago. It's on YouTube. And then Joe's, I don't know when this is airing, but Joe's just came out.
Okay.
Joe's a special just to, you know, and I think it's called Messing With People. It's also on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't expect to see the Instagram video with like, look at me. And it's like in a fucking theater.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if you haven't really done like stand up publicly like that in front of theaters, you know what I mean? But I get it, like you've been touring and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
well, with the guys, we started in like C comedy club rooms, like like not even the big room, not even the good rooms.
Right.
But that quickly elevated and we were to B and then A, and then we did a lot of touring in comedy clubs First year, I think we did 85 cities, which is a lot.
Holy shit.
80 cities.
Did you tour on a bus?
80 cities. The second tour, we started on a bus.
Did you sleep on the bus?
We slept, like if it was over 5 hours of a drive, we'd go to sleep on the bus and then wake up when we arrived at the next hotel.
Okay.
Oh,
so
okay,
like
okay,
I would
okay.
always have a hotel in a city, but yeah. sometimes I might sleep overnight as we drove to that place.
Gotcha.
And then you'd get to the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did that one time when I did Dancing with the Stars and they did a tour and they wanted me like on the whole tour and they're like, it'll be fun. And I'm like, no, it won't be. I was like, I'll do the ones that are like kind of local.
You were popular. You did well on that, didn't you?
I made it further than I should have.
Okay.
I guess that was by design because I was like the guy that tried hard.
Yeah. I always like that experience because they reached out.
Did they?
Like I've gotten a couple of people say like, oh, would you be interested in that? And I was like, I don't know. Cause I kind of like, I think I've danced on my show before and people yeah. have this idea that I can.
It's funny that no one from the Jokers has done Dance with the Stars.
Yeah.
Well, you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I fluctuated my whole life.
If
yeah.
you do that, you're going to lose even I know. More
you
weight.
You do.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's the depression. It's not, it's the stress. It's not
the tango or the salsa.
So what I'll say is like, it's
weird. Gotta be nerve wracking, man.
It is.
Like to train that hard and then thing. Go out there and really be vulnerable, put yourself out there, not knowing what you're going to really look like. If you're going to pull it off live.
It's like basically quality. The way I can explain it is like where you have no idea how to ski. They teach you how to ski during the week. And then on Monday night, live in front of the whole world, you're doing the black diamond at 500 miles per hour and just praying that it yeah. goes well. Yeah. Dancing is like, you had one split second microcosm off, the whole thing is fucked up.
Yeah.
So imagine your mind knowing that.
Yeah.
Comedy is like, okay, I want my rhythm. I want to do good. But if I fuck up a word or something like that, I can get it back.
Sure.
I can distract and make them laugh. There's no margin for error with that. It has to be perfect. Yeah. And it's one take that's live in front of the world.
How did you not stay in your head or did you not get out of it?
No, I was bad. Well, that's what made me the worst. Because I was good during the week. During the week, I was like in the studio and it was pressure. Comfortable. It was yeah. fine because I can learn a dance. I'm competent and athletic or whatever. So yeah. I can have some kind of semblance of the thing. But then right when it came to the nerves would literally put me in shackles.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Like my head would be like pounding. I have anxiety as it is. So that was the first time I ever had performance anxiety.
Sure, sure.
It was like I was doing it with ankle weights on, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
I've learned a lot of like therapeutic ways since then. I wish I knew now. Cause like a part of it is like not wanting it. So if you don't want it to be there, the more it'll be there.
Sure.
But if you just start accepting it, like, okay, or expecting it,
yeah.
It starts to like alleviate. But no, I had it there and that's why you just see me like, so, you know, but it's like comedy though. Like sometimes like you'll find your stride and then you'll be like, okay, I got this. And like, you're having yeah, a good time.
It's like getting that first laugh.
Yeah. So that was kind of like little glimpses of that. But what I will say is like, what I liked about that show when it comes to reality shows is they treat you well. Like the production is great.
It's a big show, man.
They put you up in like the on the Sunset Strip in yeah. a beautiful place. The press is amazing. You're like, you're on Dancing with the Stars. But, and then all the stress comes from the show itself.
Yeah.
As opposed to the way reality shows usually work, which is the production is usually the fucking shitty part.
Yeah, right.
And the show is easy. It's just like, I got to talk to some girl right. and drink a fucking pina colada. But somehow it becomes the hardest thing you've ever done in your yeah. life because the production's like, sit there for 14 hours and don't eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I like it. There's like good and bad.
Did you get thing. Like just tons of texts as soon as you were done?
Yeah. Like, dude, the world is watching God. You. Yeah. Your family.
Just Staten Island guys yeah. like, you half a game.
No, you're
what
representing.
Are you,
you went somewhere else with it, but you're representing like your whole fan, your friends. And like one thing, I'm like this with comedy too. I was like, everyone's like, oh, we want to come. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't need that extra pressure of my mom sitting there. Yeah. And like, this is like the time I have to, you know. I don't know. It's a crazy fucking show just to think that someone can pull that off. That's why the people, and then like the girl on my that won, Charli D'Amelio, she was already a dancer.
Okay.
So at least she didn't have that exact ballroom moment, mm-hmm. but she knew how to dance and how to do steps and stuff like that. So she had a calmness about her.
Yeah, she was playing with, she had some experience.
And I was like,
that's a little unfair.
Well, I was like, yeah, they're not going to give it to her. I'm going to win. Yeah. Like, no, she won.
They need someone who can go the distance and really put up a finale probably.
Yeah.
You know, you see the favorites right away and then there's old stories, right? The underdog is doing better than people.
The underdog.
Expect.
They want the underdog to be, they want people to go, why the fuck is he still on it? Yeah. Why did Jordan Sparks get eliminated? You know? And
did you ever fall down or like have like a big fuck up?
No, I had a fuck up that no one could notice except myself that really threw one of my dances off. But
how many did you do at dances?
I made it like 8 weeks, 8 rounds. Yeah.
The extension of the stress. Bro, it's like you hear that you made it and you're like, can't even, it's stressful. Not you're not happy.
Bro, there were literal moments where I'll try to look it up where you can see them call my name and like, I go, fuck. I think you see me say, fuck, you know, it was so fucking funny.
Is it like just for fun or is it like, did they pay you and did you make more the longer you stayed?
Yeah. So
it just scaled.
Oh no, you're wearing a toupee.
This is actually, this,
you look like Nick Jonas.
This is a good, this is a good week. This is me doing the,
this has to be Italy, right? Because it's a.
I was doing the Luca, like the Disney show. Yeah.
Dude, I'm all about Luca. My daughter watches Luca's it all fire. The time.
So like, I was like doing the samba.
Yeah. This is good, man. Dude, your lines are good,
bro. This shit is
your personality,
so nerve wracking. Yeah. This was a good week. This was a good kind of thing. But there were other times where it didn't work out well.
So, when you were rehearsing, they came to you. She, what is her name?
Coco.
Coco would come to you. She writes the choreography for you guys?
Yeah, she designs it.
She would come at first. Did she get a handle on what she think you were capable of? Like, would she do some stuff and be like, all right, nix that because you're not pulling that off?
Yeah, and I think that the problem was that they thought that maybe, because a lot of athletes do it.
Yeah.
And the athletes, even though they're a little robotic and shit, they can still do like crazy acrobatic shit.
Right.
And like lift people up and do things.
Yeah.
I was kind of just like floating in the middle.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like geriatric to where it's like we can only give them a 1-2 step.
Yeah.
Also not like Iman Shumpert that could like throw girls around.
Yeah.
So she kind of like didn't know what to do with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it didn't help that I was like a ball of anxiety the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you would do great. I think that, you know, a lot of, and it's annoying too, because TV is very hacky and like you practice and you want to get the move down and shit, but really they just like want to see you smile and just act like you're having a good time. And like, no one gives a shit about the steps.
Right.
But that's how the show fucks with you. They're like, Bruno's going to be out there making sure that your toe is pointed. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's getting his dick sucked in the trailer. Like, he doesn't give
a
fuck.
You were so good, Vinny. Yeah. I love you. Do you want to come back to my penthouse so I could suck you off? You know what I mean?
Bro. Why did you know exactly who I was talking about?
Because I watched the show.
You watched Dancing with the Stars? Oh my God.
I watched it a long time ago. Maybe every season, but listen.
I don't know. I would say he's
Bruno Mali. Is that it? Bruno
Tabbioli?
What am I thinking?
Yeah. I don't know.
He's the one that had a little sass and was like the Simon Cowell of the.
Yes.
Yeah. No. The guy that just died, Len. The old British guy was more of the mean one.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And then Carrie Ann is like the hot.
Yeah, Bruno Tullio.
Yeah. He's more. And then Derek. That was on the show.
I know Derek.
He is like the fair one.
Yeah.
You know, it's all.
Huff, and it's just Derek Huff, right?
Derek Huff. Yeah. So it's all just like the stupid, just like who's a character is what. And you're just like a pawn in the machine. But then like you said, like you're just stuck there. So like when you get through, you're like, I got to go through this again. And then you don't get paid that much more money each week.
I was just about to ask.
You get the lump sum in the beginning. And then each week is maybe like, I don't know, like 10 grand bump.
Sure.
Which is not worth the torture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, so how much did you actually rehearse each week? And was it the same each week? Or was it like, depending on how you were doing, did they scale it up or down?
You rehearsed as much as possible. Like you rehearsed.
So you were dedicating your life to it.
If you have anything else going on, you can't do it.
Wow.
You can't do it. Wow. I some people do. Like some people that are beast performers, like there was a girl, Normani. Normani was an artist and she used to go on, she was on a world tour. The fucking dancer, Val, used to fly to Asia every single week and practice with her in Asia, fly back to LA for the show, and then fly back to Asia the next day.
No, whoa. No, Val, what are you doing? I met Val. It was Val, the one with the brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the brothers, Val and I forget, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I met them I was out one night. This is back when I used to go out.
They're New York guys, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they knew my show, which was, you never know who knows the show.
Right.
But on my show, a couple times I've danced, and one time I had to like make up a dance on the spot.
Okay.
And
like ballroom? Like salsa? Like, or
just like I just riffed it. Okay. And I like made up this dance. Like I called it the double Dutch. And I've done it multiple times because people responded to it. They knew it. And so I met them at the place, at a lounge or whatever. And they were like, oh my God, dude, we watched the show. And they were with one other, so it was three of them. They all turned around and just started doing my dance.
Oh, really?
The double Dutch. I was like, what are you doing? You're doing my dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Steph Curry, like taking your jump shot. Yeah. Like, that's fucking crazy. I was like,
that's insane.
Oh yeah, but no, we rehearse during the week, and you know, you do it as much as possible, and it takes up your entire life, morning till night. And the deeper you get in the competition, you want it more. I was doing Chippendales too at the same time. I used to host the show in Vegas.
Okay.
Chippendales. And I was...
Were you actually stripping too?
I was like, I did show my ass at one point in the shower scene. Like artistic. Yeah, yeah. They're like playing, like, you know, like Mike was there. You remember?
Yeah.
He used to fluff.
Yeah, I was the fluffer.
I'm surprised they didn't ask you to do that too.
Who came to you with this?
They did.
Chippendales called you?
Chippendales calls me. And I had seen like Tyson Beckford do it. Seen like some celebs do it. It was a very like D-list type of connection.
But it was a residence though?
Yeah, they would give residencies.
Wow.
So at first I'm like, okay, like probably bad for the brand. I'm not going to do that. And then they made the offer. And I was like,
yo,
I didn't know they had this kind of money.
This is my brand.
Yeah. I was like, all right, time to show my dick.
and then you did what? Like a show, a couple shows that...
It was just like a comedy weekend. I would do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. It was the easiest job in the world. You just go there and see me.
Take a little shower in front of the gals.
Whoa, what the fuck is this?
Like, so you had to take yourself seriously though. How did you do that? Or you didn't?
Look, I was so skinny. I was like fucking Ozempic that over here.
Oh my God, look.
I'm just kidding. It was not Ozempic. It was starvation. It's just like playing with the girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wait, that's you?
Yeah, that's me.
So you did do an act.
Yeah, it's an act. It's a comedy show.
Okay.
Yeah. But like they would put me into the ones that like weren't choreography.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And you didn't have to show your whole like cock hole.
No, you don't show your dick. Like Aaron Berg was a stripper.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he showed dick.
Yeah,
he like,
yeah.
Like guys used to blow him. Whatever it was. Yeah. This is like a little PG-13.
Was your wang hard? Did you have to have a hard wang?
No.
Okay.
No. They don't show,
this isn't like where you went out into the crowd and girls are putting doll like stuff.
No. This is a show in a theater.
Okay.
In Las Vegas.
And you flexing as you, like, yeah, I see the tight chest that you turn.
Yeah.
Was she part of it or this?
No,
this
is from the audience.
Wow, she did a great job.
Yeah. The whole thing is like very, like they take the, I'll shut it off. Sorry, guys. Amazing. Before we all get hard.
Hold on a second.
Wait, was she getting into the shirt?
Yeah. Nah, it's like.
Did you have to work out a lot during that just to keep, like, were you like, I gotta, you know.
Ironically, like I did work out to get in shape. I was in like, you know, to get to that. But then when I was there, because I was just moving so much and doing the show every weekend and working out in Vegas. I don't know if you ever lived in Vegas. It's a shithole. There's nothing to do there. So I would just work out during the week. And
you stayed full time? You didn't fly back?
No, it's fucking Thursday through Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to stay in shape. So I would like live in Vegas for like 2 months at a time. I did it like six times. Yeah, I lived in Vegas a lot.
Wait, so each time was 2 months at a clip?
Yeah, a month and a half.
So you almost lived there, you've almost done that like a year cumulatively?
Yeah.
Another thing that takes over your whole life.
I've made like over $1 million doing this.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Like doing fucking this.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's why I did it, you know what I mean? Because collectively, and it was easy too. Like stand up, I mean, I love it and I hope to make it a career, but this was like, no thinking at all.
Just go there
and just be like, what's up? Right.
Were there nerves in the beginning or were there?
Yeah, of course. You have nerves with anything new that you do. Then eventually I'm like, oh, I can't fuck this up.
Yeah.
You
know?
But I was doing Dancing with the Stars during the week. I would fly to Vegas. I was doing it in LA and then I would fly to Vegas on Friday, my partner would come with me. We would rehearse all day. I would do rehearsals, and then I would fly on Sunday back to LA for the dress rehearsal and then do Dancing with the Stars live. So I was doing both of those. I wasn't Normani, but I was like,
sure.
Some celebrities are in the middle of some shit.
Right.
Like if you did it, you would have to, you know. Now, luckily, a lot of times, it's not really much going on in some of their careers, and this is a good time for them to do it.
In the beginning, it was more like, oh, wow, I haven't seen this before. But when it's got more popular, didn't they get like.
Yes.
Yeah, it depends. Like some people do it when they're a little bit after their careers. Like an athlete might not have anything going on. But like Zendaya did it.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Zendaya did it when she was like just coming off of like the Disney fame.
Okay.
There's always a Disney star on there. And yeah. At the time you weren't like, this is Zendaya. There's like, right now there's a Gossip Girl, but she might be the next Zendaya.
Right.
So sometimes it like catapults you into the next kind of.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, guys, we're taking a quick break from the show to tell you about Manscaped. Love Manscaped. We've been talking a lot about Bush and I like to keep a little bit of bush, but also when it gets too crazy, I like to just trim the balls down. Right, Mike?
100%. Get it nice. Get them smooth, you know.
I don't know if gals like bush. You know, I like a little bush, but I don't know if the gals like it.
True.
But whatever. You can even just like do a 1.5 down there. You know, it doesn't always have to be crazy. But also, Manscaped just makes excellent products. Like when I open up the box, I feel like I'm buying a new, like, just fancy, you know, just music player or something like that.
Yeah.
It has a case to it.
Yes.
And everything is, like, fucking USB-C charged. And it's just, like, so state-of-the-art, high-tech. Sometimes I buy these, like, buzzers from the internet and they just fall apart.
The worst.
But Manscaped is fucking amazing. I use it every day. I use it on my face, not the balls one. That's what I'm getting at. We don't want to use the balls. They've separated it, okay? Because we were using face and balls for a second.
It was bad.
So now we got the Beard Hedger and the Lawnmower 5.0. And that's the Beard and Balls bundle, all right? And guys, if you want 20% off the Beard and Balls bundle, then you should use my promo code at manscaped.com, okay? So get 20% off free shipping with the code VINNYG, V-I-N-N-Y-G at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code VINNYG, V-I-N-N-Y-G at manscaped.com. No more juggling multiple tools or dealing with the subpar results. Just efficient, effective grooming wherever you need it. That is manscaped.com. And we all love discounts. So use my discount, my promo code, and shave your balls. So how did you, speaking of being hot and in shape, so you got skinny, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I call myself skinny. No, yeah, I just, because I was like doing this, we're going to film a special last December.
Okay.
And I'm like, I will not be able to look at myself and I will not be able to edit the special and watch a special if I'm
going to like
look
feel
at
good,
everything
look
I can't good. Stand about myself.
Yeah.
And also I had a daughter and so like it was really for her and then I was like, it was two good reasons, but I fluctuated 50 plus pounds my entire life, up and down.
Yeah.
So I like,
do you know how to do it? Do you do the same thing every time or is it different?
I just become strict.
Yeah.
There's really no secret. I like don't eat as much. I don't eat as bad.
Work out more.
I hardly work out because I don't have any time. Like I probably could make time. And if I, that's probably an excuse I'm making, but it was mostly just eating right.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you drink? Did you like cut out alcohol?
I don't really drink. I mean, I like I said, I bartended for like a decade and I used to drink.
Did you go to the New York School of Bartending or whatever it was?
One of them.
I did too.
Yeah.
On Staten Island on Bay Street.
Yeah.
No.
That was there forever. That's gone now.
Is it?
But I went to actually one.
Was it a place or was it, I feel like I just was at a bar.
It was just a school.
Oh yeah. I went there.
Yeah.
On Staten Island. Your career goals aren't that high. You know what I mean? It's like I took my New York City court officer exam.
Yeah, I took a security guard exam.
Security guard exam.
I left my like 9-to-5 job out of college, I have a finance degree and I worked at Prudential Securities now.
Oh yeah, a finance degree.
Yeah, I worked
shit.
For like 4 years there. And then
what
after
school
that,
did you go to?
St. John's.
In San Oh yeah, of course. That's like exotic.
A lot of my friends were going and I was like, I didn't have any desire to dorm. I wanted to be in the city.
Yeah.
So, and NYU was very expensive. So I just, you know, went there. But yeah, I was like, what am I going to do? When I left there, I wanted to work on comedy. I need a flexible schedule. So I got all like the licenses. The bartending license, the security guard license. I got the like license to marry people, like all that.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah, just like, all right, whatever.
Notary Republic.
Yeah, that's one I didn't do.
Oh, okay.
That's the only one I wish I still did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Baron Trump. He's at NYU walking around. Oh, he takes he starts at Trump Tower in Midtown and then he motorcades every day to go there.
Oh, he goes there.
Yeah. He picked NYU.
Is that now?
He goes there now. 7 foot tall Trump walking around NYU campus.
He is really tall though, right?
7 feet tall.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he's not 7 feet. You're exaggerating.
I think he's 7 feet.
Is he 7 feet?
Yeah.
Jesus.
If you're seven, how many 7 foot people are not ball players?
I know.
You know?
I don't
know. 6'9".
6'9".
Wow. Yeah. He got, from my last time seeing him, it was like he was a kid.
Eric is 6'5".
6'9".
I had the personal trainer one. I worked at Bally Total Fitness on Saturday.
Oh, did you?
It was a day course.
Oh man, that actually changes what I think about.
Well,
you think you're handing yourself over to this person who like is so versed.
But that's like the Staten Island Bally Total Fitness. Yeah. That's not the standard of like Equinox in the city.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to the city one day for a course and they're like, did anybody read the book? I'm like, no, there was a book. And they're like, okay, can you touch your toes? All right, here, you can fucking you can make people squat now, you know. But I always knew actually how to train because I was like a fucking Staten Island Guido.
Sure. You had the DNA.
I worked out every day. I worked out every day. I was a basketball coach. I did all that shit. So I could teach like old ladies how to fucking do a lat pull down. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. And then what about motivating them?
So I was good at that. One thing I wish I would have done now, if I was a trainer, and I always think about like what other career paths I can go into, I'd be a really good like health coach now.
Okay.
Not necessarily a nutritionist, but like
did you a book on
keto?
Yeah.
That whole thing, like that whole world made me realize like what everyone's doing wrong. And it kind of like red pilled me in the food space. And, you know, now I could like tell people like, no, like stop eating all the sugar and stop eating all the bread and fat's okay. Eat real butter and, you know, caloric deficit, you know? So I didn't do that. Like at the time I was eating Wendy's during my lunch, you know what I mean?
Right.
Did you ever have any other weird, like funny jobs on Staten Island? Because I had a bunch.
I haven't had many jobs, right? So my first job was at a convenience store in Staten Island.
Deli?
Yeah, deli. Like yeah. I worked there from 14 to like 19.
Okay.
And then like at 18, I started doing double duty. One block away, I started delivering pizza.
Same.
When I started college.
Yep.
And then I kind of just delivered pizza through college.
Pizza is the best job when you're on Staten Island.
The best
in your car, you're just fucking by yourself.
The best job ever.
And it's funny because you make the same amount of money as the guy working behind the counter, and he's like slaving away.
Yeah, and on good nights, I was like,
$300.
It depends. Like you really, because I was coming from the deli where when I started, when I was 14, I got my working papers. I think my the minimum wage was like $4.
Yeah, working papers. Remember that? You have to get that when I got that too.
So $4, you know, by the time I left there, I was like making $6.25.
Yeah. But I have this inside joke with one of my uncle Nino actually, where I would tell him how much I got paid from the pizzeria and I'd be like, yeah, I get $4 an hour. And he's like, all right, you get $4 an hour. He's like, how much do you make? And I was like, I don't know. Sometimes like $150. He's like, how much is gas? He's like, you're paying him.
Right.
Cause it's like, you get nothing. And like, by the time you walk away.
My guy was good. I forget what I made. I got like shift pay, whatever that was. Right. And then it was, they were pretty fair. And then it was like the tips. And he also paid for wear and tear and gas.
Oh, so that's everything.
50 cents a delivery. He added. So if I did 20 deliveries, I got $10 for wear and tear and gas.
Oh, okay.
And when I was delivering pizza, gas was like at, like the highest it was like $1.29.
Right. You had a good year.
Sometimes when I went to like the cheap gas stations, it was like 99 cents a gallon.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Shit. I sound like I'm a dinosaur. But it just was cheaper like in the
late 90s. Because there were times like in the 80s where it was like $10 a gallon.
Yeah, it was just caught the good, you know.
Just like whatever war was going on.
Yeah, but tons of stories like delivering pizza. I got bit by dogs. I got girls flashing me. I did.
Oh.
You know, I got my friends would come with me.
I was just going to say, no one's ever tried to suck my dick. Just anyone out there, you know, the porno rumors aren't true. You know what I mean? Maybe a guy one time, but.
No, yeah. I had a girl like didn't have money and so she flashed me. I had a guy, his dog ran out, bit me in the leg, ran back in. And he didn't care. He just closed the door.
Yeah.
I had my friends used to come with me and I delivered in like Rosebank area. And so all the satellite neighborhoods I went to and such. So Park Hill, which is like Wu-Tang area, Stapleton. I delivered there. So my friends would come with me and they would like just do shit to me. Like I'd get out of the car, go to the door, ring the bell. Uh-huh. And like it was the summer, like my windows were down or whatever. And they would like recline in the seats all the way down so it looked like nobody was in there. And then like just blast 106.7 Light FM.
Oh my God.
So like people would open the door and it'd be like Celine Dion just blasting.
In Park Hill or whatever? Yeah, oh, fuck that.
And like it looked like nobody else was in the car.
Oh man.
That was fun. But I went from there to Prudential Securities.
What's that? The financing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there to bartending and then from bartending to comedy. And that was all my jobs.
Wow. That's cool. I didn't have that many. I was 21 when I did I did the delivering pizza. My first job ever when I was like 14 with my working papers was this place in the Staten Island Mall called Major Leagues.
Yeah.
It sold like sports memorabilia.
Yeah, memorabilia. Yeah,
and
yeah.
like hats and shit. And yeah. I was just kind of like, it was like retail. I did that. And I did the busboy with the crazy people at the Manor House. What happened? Okay, cool. I was like, you're not recording. I did that. And then I worked at Staples.
Sure. Which one?
Richmond Avenue.
Okay. Yeah.
Dude, I sold loose leaf and then I was so good at loose leaf. They updated me to the printers. And shit like that. That was the best. I didn't even know anything about it. I was read from the little card in the front. They'd be like, tell me this camera. I'm like, oh, this is a 16 Carl Zeiss lens.
Carl Zeiss. Everyone knows his name. I have no idea
Carl
what that
Zeiss
means.
Lens. Yeah.
Carl Zeiss. When I go to like Lowe's or Home Depot, whatever, it's like few and far between. But I'm always like, I need guidance.
Yeah.
Those people don't know either. They don't know.
Nah.
They hide on you.
Yeah.
You can't even find them.
Home Depot is the worst one.
Yeah.
You can't find help in Home. You would have better fucking help in the Titanic.
It's rough.
Than fucking Home Depot.
My cousin worked at Home Depot, I think, in Jersey, and he fashioned like a little hiding spot on one of those top racks. Like
so he didn't have to
an empty cardboard box.
Yeah.
And he put in a pillow, a blanket, and he put in a case of Gatorade.
He had a house. Snacks,
and he would literally climb up there, get in, and just stay there for like as long as he wanted and come back down.
There's like one guy walking around Home Depot that knows what he's talking about.
Old guy. Like gray haired dude.
Everyone's looking for that one fucking dude.
He knows everything. They deflect. Everyone's like, oh, you got to go down to like 16A.
It's too complicated in there to know like everything. Like you, I'm like, I'm embarrassed to even ask. I'm like, I need this like tiny screw that's like made out of copper. Like I don't explain. There's like a whole wall of screws there. It's fucking so stupid.
Yeah, I'm not handy at all.
What else did I have? I had one. You reminded me. I had this weird one for the Staten Island Advance where it was the best job ever and the worst job ever because basically what you did was, so the Staten Island Advance was our local paper. Yeah. Were you ever a paper boy? A lot of people do that too. Paper boy.
Actually,
it wasn't a lot of people. It was like a certain group that were paper. They had to wake up mad early, like 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I had friends that did.
Yeah.
But you know, it's so funny, like a little bookies because like people can just say, I'm not paying today. And that was socially acceptable.
What? And the advance?
When the kid went to collect money.
Oh, he did? Oh.
When, I'm collecting today. That when, you know, it was weekly, they would go collect.
Oh, they would pay him?
Yeah, if you delivered the paper,
you
collected the money.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, so they would.
This kid's like 13.
The advance, younger.
Yeah.
The advance would come drop a batch of papers, and they were tied up together, and you go pick up the batch at the like drop point.
Yeah.
And then you deliver them, and then like you'd have like a literally like a pad with all the addresses,
and
you
knock on the door
and be like collecting.
Holy shit.
And then like a lot of times when I was younger, the paper was 35 cents or whatever. So you collecting like sometimes, you know, you got a $2.
Yeah.
You know, collect it. And then people be like, come back. You got to come back.
There'd be
like times where people didn't pay for like weeks. You don't remember this?
Nah. And I wasn't a paper boy.
Yeah, but
boy.
I wasn't either, but it was like,
you knew it.
Was common. Yeah. It was that where, and then people be like, this guy didn't pay me in a month. He owes me $8. And then you're hoping for a tip on top
and
of that.
And you bring your uncle with you.
People would dodge the paper boy.
Yeah. Well, adding to that, I had a job where if the person didn't get their paper, I was the one that they called to be the reserve paper boy. So I would have a stack of papers in my you know about this?
No.
I'd have a stack of papers in my back seat. I'd have a cell phone that they would give me.
You're shitting me.
And I would just go hang out all day, like with my friends and shit. And when I would get a call, they'd be like,
for the bat signal.
Waiting for the bat signal. And then when I got a call, they'd be like, so and so didn't get their paper. And I would go deliver them a paper. Now I had the North Shore. So a lot of times it was like the projects. Uh-huh. And it was, I didn't go into a couple of them. You know what I mean? I was like, this is not worth it. Because, not because of whatever, they used to get like fuck with people. Like paper boys like lost their whole, they would take their pants, they would steal them and shit like that. I'm like,
pants.
Yeah, they would like just like take sneakers and shit. Yeah, because I'm like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, you don't want to run that risk. But that sounds like it's like they're losing money. Because they have to pay you to just wait to replace a paper that was 50 cents.
Sign on Advance had money, bro.
Yeah.
I used to do a thing where sometimes like they needed bodies to put the papers on the conveyor belt on Sunday. So I used to work overnight. So Saturday night, it was basically like you would go in because Sunday's their big day. The paper's like this thick on Sunday.
Yeah, you got those circulars.
Yeah. So putting it onto the conveyor belt, they needed bodies to put the two on, together, and then it would go into a machine and they would wrap it up.
Sure.
And I was one of those guys that work all night. I start my shift at like 11 o'clock and then at 6 a.m. the bell used to ring. You used to get like $250 for it. Oh. Yeah, back then that was crazy. $250.
I mean, that's a tough. Who would really want to do that job?
Like everyone just, did though, because
really? You're like lifting papers even for 8 hours overnight.
Yeah, even all the older guys that like drove the trucks or whatever, like the they were like, money. Yeah, we'll just take the extra money.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's so. Did you just go and like? Did you make sure they got the? Did you knock and was like, we're so sorry.
Yeah. They made me like say a little paragraph. Oh, I have to read this. This will never happen again. I'm a stupid little idiot.
We strive for excellence. And
Oh my God.
Your well-being is our concern.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got to go soon, but I wanted to play one reel. Let's react to something to do with food. This is supposedly a Guinness Book of World Record of the guy that can juggle and bite these fucking apples at the same time.
Oh my God.
Isn't this amazing?
That's nuts. I mean, when's he swallowing them?
198. I mean, 100 juggling.
I guess he's not. Is it going in his mouth?
I think he just has to bite it.
This is a guy that knows everything at Home Depot, by the way. Over here chomping apples.
How do you even learn that you could do that?
Whoa.
Oh, look at the comment. Look at the comment.
The apples are going down, too. The more they go down.
Yeah, he's... It's a honey.
Amazing. Amazing.
You gotta show the fish.
Unbelievable.
You gotta show the fish one. The kids are three. It was the top right one.
I have it?
I had it somewhere.
Which one was it?
It was three kids on a boat and the fish jumps out of the boat.
Oh yeah. Oh, I thought I had that.
I just saw it. You did it. You had it, but maybe on a different
Maybe
page.
I had it sailors.
Maybe.
Oh, wait, where is it?
That guy hasn't seen a doctor in decades.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, I know.
I knew it was a stretch. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at this fucking thing. Right. But there's probably a bunch of girls.
Right there, there it is. There it is.
Oh, okay. Ditty, okay. Right, yeah, this was a fun.
I mean, this one. Bro.
These kids will never go fishing again.
They're already scared. And then
jumps out and hits him.
Oh, that's traumatic. Dude.
That's traumatic. Dude. That one thing goes over head over heels. The heels over his head.
Never again. These kids are never.
It also blindsided.
Yeah.
That was a big bass. What was that?
I don't know.
That thing. This the first kid gets KO'd.
The little kid got in the middle was fucking chilling.
I bet you that's what it feels like. Kind of like getting slimed.
Yeah.
The third girl got all slimed.
So you have one now?
I have one.
One? Yeah. I heard you talking on Rogan, I think, about it was like the craziest thing that ever happened to you.
Theo. I spoke about it extensively on Theo's.
Yeah.
It's the best thing in the world, man. Nice. I mean, legit. Like, I don't know if you guys want kids or have
kids. I'm entering that time of my life. So you've been a good boy. You've had a girl for a long time.
Yep. I'm a stepdad. We're trying to have our own. Okay. I work a little medical complications.
Sure.
Got to lose a little weight. Got to, you know. But I would like to be, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else.
Nice.
That,
you know. And I was
and
the
girl is what I want, too. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Definitely.
I was the opposite where I was, had the crazy life in the 20s. Sure. And I figured, I'm like, marriage, who wants that? You know, it's like, I can get whatever I want. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then like, as I reached 35, 36, I just started to feel it.
Yeah.
Like life is finite. You want people around you that are going to be there when you're sick and older. And like, what else are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just what ends up being like what it's all about, really. The most important thing, you know.
And you're on Staten Island.
I am, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You just like Method Man.
Chilling.
You're just chilling. like this is home. It's simple. It's nice there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm close. I'm like pretty close. I mean, it's as close as any other borough, really.
Yeah. You know?
It just works. It just worked for me. You know, like I definitely wanted a home, yard and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I thought about moving elsewhere, but you know, we still have family and friends and things like that. So I was like, I was like going to move to the city and everything, but then the pandemic happened and I was like, you know, I always wanted a pool. I always wanted a yard. I always wanted to. And so I'm like, let me rethink this. And I was against that. Like I wasn't going to stay. And I was like, it's worked for me my whole life. Like I can continue to come in and out every day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I spend most of my time in Manhattan and Brooklyn. I really just go back to Staten to really just go to my house.
Yeah. Go in the pool.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a pool yet.
But, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was like, I went to the Hamptons a couple times. Living in the city, that's like what the thing to do, and like people pay like $40,000 a month. Well, me, like $40,000 for a month to like just go out there and like experience a pool. And I'm like, guys, you know, in Staten Island, like I grew up there. There's pools. Like you can pool hop. There's trees. Like you know what I mean. Like I'm like, this is not so fucking luxurious to me. Like put me on a tropical beach. I'm like, oh, this is fucking different.
Yeah.
But in Staten Island, that's just the way we grew up.
I wonder if people still we pooled hopped. I don't know if people still do that.
I've never heard of pool hop.
Like, you didn't even hear it, right?
I've never even heard of it. I'm from the Bronx.
So what you do is you just jump in anybody's pool.
Through the fence? Like a prank kind of thing?
No prank.
Like you just break hop
someone's fence.
Okay, this is, jump in we're pool. Committing crimes.
You know, you jump in the pool, maybe they're home, maybe now you splash around, you get out, you jump that fence, and you hop in the next pool, and then you just keep hopping into people's pool.
And people just wave it like, hey, Sal.
Yeah, they catch you, they don't catch you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really doing anything besides jumping in the pool, getting out and jumping out.
How do you know the pool's clean? How do you know that,
you don't care?
That was like a legit thing. I haven't thought of it. I don't even remember, probably since I did it, sounds but that like was fun. Like common.
Yeah.
Like look at this. Be like, what do you want? You want to go pool hopping?
Look at this map of New York City. That's where all the pools are in New York City. Look at Staten Island.
No shit.
Yeah.
You can pull that up. Oh, from like the DOB or something?
This is on Reddit, but yeah, this is a map porn Reddit.
Yeah.
And look at how they're spread out all over here. There's like two in New York, two Manhattan. New York.
Oh my God.
And then look, Staten Island's all fucking pools.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
It's like the thing.
Meanwhile, I didn't grow up with one. We lived in garden apartments when I was very little, and it was a communal one.
Yeah.
So I had that, but I left there when I was pretty young. And so like I didn't grow up with one. So for me, I put such a high value. Like I love to this day. Like if I go in a pool, I stay in for like 8 hours. Yeah. I always wanted one. I never
summertime,
had one.
Nighttime, 90 degrees.
Little lights in the pool.
And now you got
a little steam coming up.
Somebody hops in. You're like,
you got to get the spillover from the hot tub. You know, now that you're a little successful,
that's so nice.
Go back and forth. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
A little barbecue. Good. Yeah. I like Staten Island. I always say good things about it. I mean, I like, now that I'm trying to do comedy, I like just being right here. I'm starting a whole new career. So it's like, I like being walking distance.
The best way to do it.
Yeah, but Staten Island is like still close enough to the city, but you can still experience like amazing houses. And I love views too, and there's like beautiful views.
Parks and stuff.
Parks, yeah, yeah. yeah. Go up on hills. I like hills.
No, that's sweet because I try to like show my like daughter all these places. Like, you know, we go to all the historical sites and parks, and we have those in abundance. Mm-hmm. And like so many neighborhoods are so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
really, really beautiful. Like old school, like up on the hill, like
Lighthouse Hill.
Like, yeah, like look, and then you see like the whole harbor and everything. Yeah, and, like, a lot of people like just don't go to Staten Island, just go through and get to Jersey. So they don't really know that like there are those kind of like, you know.
They think it's literally when you get off the ferry, that's what Staten Island
is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or the expressway, yeah. Nice.
Thank you so much, bro, for doing this.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk to ton.
I know. It's like we're talking like family. Yeah, yeah. But I appreciate it. Where can people find you and what do you want to plug?
Absolutely. My website's savilcanocomedy.com. I start my tour kicks off this week in Huntsville, Alabama, but all the dates are online. I have about 35 cities up now, always adding. I'm doing this through 2026.
Holy shit.
So yeah, new special is out. It's called Terrified on YouTube. I have two podcasts that are on hiatus right now, but I will get back to them in the new year. Taste Buds and Hey Babe with my buddies Chris DiStefano and Joe DeRosa. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Shout out to Chrissy D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Figs.
At Comic Mike Figs. Check out the YouTube page, the Thing Is podcast on Gas Digital, and come to the stand. I'm there every week at Comic Mike Figs.
Nice. And you guys can follow me. You know where to follow me. And thanks for watching. Please like, subscribe, share, do whatever you can, comment, rate to help grow the podcast. I appreciate it. Peace.
Yay.
Thanks, bro. Cool.
Yeah.
It's going to get a lot of views, I feel like.
I want to go to Staten Island.
I'm like, it sounds awesome.
We've never really spoken extensively.
I know. I think I've seen you like an award show once or twice.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm good friends with... What's up, guys? If you like the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We are building this thing from the ground up, so we need your help. And hopefully we can make this really big one day. Love you.